Let us pray. By the breath of your Spirit, O Lord, inspire us, that in the hearing of your word we may be filled with new understanding and fresh desire to please you in all that we do, for the sake of your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Amen. One of my favorite pieces of irreverent humor I saw on a sign at a First United Methodist Church. It was announcing the sermon titles for the upcoming Sunday, and it said, 11 a.m., Jesus, walking on the water. 7 p.m., searching for Jesus. More to the point is a story that comes out of Tennessee and Texas. A family from Texas went to visit the mother's parents for Christmas. And on their way home, they stopped at a filling station to gas up in Nashville, Tennessee. And their five-year-old son, Tyler, got out of the station wagon and went into the filling station, little market area, to go to the bathroom. And when he was all finished and ready to come out, the door was stuck. He could not get out. Well, the family gets all in the station wagon, and as they head off, Mom is driving, and Dad and the five children in the car dozed off. Well, eventually, wires got connected, and the family realized that their son was back at the filling station. They had stopped at a Wendy's on the way and looked around the table and realized one of them was missing. And Dad said later, "We always take a head count. With that many children, you have to. But we were just tired that day, and I guess we forgot." Well, they made contact. Family went back to get the son. When the son saw them, the sobs and all the tears just vanished, and he had this great big smile as he ran and jumped up in his mother's arms. And the whole family enjoyed a very welcome reunion. The parents had been worried sick, as any parents would be, as I'm confident Mary and Joseph were. And they had to search for 3 days before they found their son in Jerusalem. This is a story about families losing track of each other, particularly families losing track of children. Children that families grow around, take care of, tend to, become their primary focus for many years. And here, Mary and Joseph have lost their oldest son, 12 years old. He had gone to Jerusalem with them that year, as he usually did. The custom back then was for families to gather with neighbors and friends, and large groups would go from wherever they lived to Jerusalem for Passover. The women would leave first so that they could get to when they were heading out for the day, so that they could get to wherever they were going to camp for the night. And being a patriarchal society, it was the women who set up camp, and they started cooking the meal while the men came in a little bit later. And this was the pattern going to Jerusalem and coming home. So it was not unusual for them to not get together as families until the late afternoon or early evening. So on that first day out, Mary and Joseph didn't encounter each other until well after the campsite had been set up and it was dark. And that was when Mary realized he wasn't with Joseph, and Joseph realized he wasn't with Mary, and they checked around with their friends and neighbors who were part of this big group. None of them had seen him since they left Jerusalem. I'm confident that they were frantic. They knew this child was special, but I'm confident they were still frantic. Wouldn't you have been, as a parent, to have lost your 12-year-old child? And what had made this trip so special for them was, at age 12, this was the first time that Jesus could participate in the religious items of the day, including worship with the men. Until then, he was shuttled off to the side with the women and other children. But as a 12-year-old, he was now a man. In that day and age, until the children turned 12, they were the father's responsibility. And any punishment that the children deserved, the father got. So I'm sure many fathers heaved a sigh of relief when their children turned 12. And there was little Jesus standing there for the first time, sitting with the men, praying with them. He was old enough now to be asked to read Torah. And his parents found him sitting with the rabbis and the elders in the temple. And all were astonished at both his questions and his answers. Now, in a few days from now, Christians will celebrate Epiphany. Epiphany is that time when the Magi came to the stable. We think of that, the creche scenes are always the shepherds and the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and then the camels and the Magi are off here a little bit. But they're all in the same scene, and it didn't happen that way. The shepherds were there first, and according to tradition, 12 days later, the Magi arrived. That's why we sing of the 12 days of Christmas. And Epiphany is 12 days after Christmas. We still say wise men still come to seek him. There's a story of wise men heading out, and they stop at the home of a widow whom they have known and knew how she was looking forward to the coming of this new king of Judea. And they stopped and they said, would you like to join us now? She said, oh, I would love to join you. I've been looking forward to this for so long and I want to travel with you. But I have to get my house in order first. Well, by the time she did that, the Magi were out of sight. The star was getting dimmer and dimmer on the horizon, and she never did get to go because she waited. She did not do what she needed to do right away. And that's the theme of my sermon this morning, searching for Jesus. We need to do what we need to do, particularly with our faith, right away. No dawdling, no waiting. This is like preaching to the choir to some extent, but I wanted to reiterate and take this opportunity to do so, that if we feel that there is something missing in our life, no matter how loyal and devoted we have been as Christians, we might want to ask ourselves, have I lost track a little bit? Do I need to deepen my prayer life? Do I need to be more consistent in my Bible reading? Do I need to talk with God more? What do I need to do to search for Jesus and make him more part of my life or my family's life? We can only ask and answer that question for ourselves. Families are in trouble. All you have to do is pick up your paper and read, and you will see. The divorce rate is higher now than it has ever been, and it continues to double periodically. It is projected that half of the marriages that occur this year will end in divorce. Babies are having babies. Drugs are running rampant. And I could go on, but you read the news just like I do. And we know that not just because of a pandemic, but the world is in crisis. We're in trouble. And I guess because I'm a pastor, but you probably believe so too, that part of the reason for all of this is that so many of us have turned our back toward God. We have failed to realize the importance of God in our life, not just on Sunday or Christmas Eve, but every single day. So the first question is there something you are missing? Do you need to search a little bit harder for Jesus? The second question then is, when shall we begin the search? According to a lesson I read, not a lesson, a story, not too long ago, I never knew until I read it that the Washington National Cathedral was built over a period of years from 1906 to 1988. It was built by the Episcopal Church, and they only built as far as the money would take them. And when they ran out of money, they'd stop building until they had accumulated more. They were not going to go into debt. And there were times when things just came to a halt. And I read about one particular area where hot water pipes were put in the floor of a particular portion of the structure. And then they ran out of money. So it was 5 years later before they could go back and refinish that area and build the structure on top of the flooring that was supposed to be there. And I don't know whether it was a room or part of the sanctuary. I don't know what it was, but there was a room that was supposed to be there that hadn't been for 4 years. And the problem was that since there was no running hot water during that whole time because nothing was finished, the concrete, the cement in the floor had pitted the piping such that the floor had to be dug up so all the piping could be replaced. That's the problem with not doing something when it needs to be done. And that's the question some folks have to answer. What am I doing today about the emptiness I feel? Sir Walter Scott's last words in his diary were, "Tomorrow we shall," and there was nothing to follow. Nothing followed that. There was some goal, something he intended to do, somewhere he intended to go perhaps, that didn't happen. We all have dreams, we all have goals, and the time to start them is today, is now, particularly where those dreams and those goals and those yearnings are to walk more closely with the Lord. Those yearnings are particularly important in all of our lives. And then that is, brings us to our final question, and that is, where do we search for him? Mary and Joseph spent 3 days running around Jerusalem not knowing that all they had to do was go to the temple and find their son. So where do we start? Where do we look for him? Some people say it's out in nature. An artist gives his father credit for teaching him how to see the beauty in the world, because they would go out of a late afternoon and just lie on the grass and look up, and they'd see the birds flying and the butterflies, and they'd smell the grass and see the grass is waving, and he learned to discern beauty from his father taking him out on those afternoons. And he wrote that one afternoon there was a particularly magnificent sunset, and his father stood up, took his cap off, held it in front of him, and he said, "Son, there is God." He saw God in nature, as we all do, as we all can. And if you find that you're not, that might be a time to hone up a little bit, spend a little bit more time with your Bible, with prayer, with friends that you know that are of strong faith. Maybe it's a time to talk to a neighbor or somebody about your faith and ask them about theirs. William Thomas Cummings was the one who said, in the Pacific in World War II, there are no atheists in foxholes. And throughout recent wars, this has been borne to be true. Chaplains throughout our armed services talk each time we are at war that the increase in people who find God, who turn to faith while in battle, continues to escalate. Many people do find God in such circumstances, times of great stress or great heartache. We often turn to God. But it might be helpful to do that before we're in a stressful time or a crisis. Now, I know we immediately think we find God here. And for those of us who look for God here, that is true. We do. But I also recognize that, with the exception of our Christmas Eve service, sometimes church isn't quite as exciting as it always is, as it sometimes is. There was a mother who asked her young son one time, "What is the highest number you have counted up to?" And he said, 537. And she looked at him and she said, "Well, why did you decide to stop counting there?" And he said, "Church was over." It's not necessarily an exciting place to be if excitement is what you are looking for, but it is a dynamic place to be because we can and we do find God in this place. We find him other places, but we find him here too. We need to be quiet sometimes to listen. But we know that we can count on the promise that if we seek our Lord, we will find, because he will find us. Now, so often I have said to you, answer his call when you hear God responding, when you hear Christ calling your name, answer that call. But today I want to say to you, call for him, and he will answer your call. Thanks be to God. Amen.